Welcome to Happily Ever After is just the beginning. Keeping your relationship not just together, but happy, and we mean truly happy, is part art and part science. You've come to the right place. Here's your host, Leslie Dorries.
You know, I frequently describe relationships, and especially marriage, as a cosmic joke. I mean, who decided that men and women should pair up and live together in harmony for a long period of time? You know, it's kind of like the old Truman Show. It's like, well, let's go to the Dorries household and take a look at what's going on and have a really good laugh. And this whole idea about men and women being different is really, you know, we've got lots of books about it. You know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus, waffles and spaghetti, and you know, men and women aren't really from two different planets, but we are different. And part of this is made even more problematic because cultural definitions have, you know, this is what a man is, this is what a woman is, and even though they're evolving, there's still a lot of ideas that, you know, holding on to those traditional definitions of masculinity and femininity. And one of the biggest ones is men don't cry. Real men don't cry. And I want somebody to tell me that a Marine whose buddies just died doesn't cry or that he's not a real man. I'm sorry, I disagree with that. But even in business, we have this idea that feelings don't belong. Everything is supposed to be based on facts and logic. And what this ends up with is that many men have learned, actually have been taught to disconnect from their feelings. And this is really true in this adage that absolutely makes me crazy, that the way to success in marriage is for the man, the husband, to say, just say yes, dear. And it's just one more way that they're supposed to suppress their feelings. And this expectation of them, of men to downplay their feelings, has a tremendous fallout for their ability to really connect in relationships, to really be part and be really into that relationship. And this results in less than fulfilling marriages for both the men and the women. So joining me today to talk about how you can help your guy to be more in touch emotionally is Christine Walker, a professional mom and relationship blogger. She founded the website Boys Cry Too, where she explores ways to strengthen emotional connections with boys and men. So Christine, thank you so much for joining me about this really, I think, impactful topic.
Well, thanks for having me, Leslie. I'm excited to be here.
So what prompted you to start the website?
Well, that's a good question. I was at a book club one night with a bunch of women these are bright, intelligent women that I respect, and we have lots of really great conversations every month. And one night we happened to be discussing a feminist text, so we had a lot of talks about women and girls that then evolved into raising boys and how we raise boys to respect women and things like that. And at one point during the conversation, somebody suggested that they were going to have to teach their son that at some point it was no longer okay to cry. Socially, he was going to have to learn that he couldn't cry anymore. And I was really surprised. I have four sons of my own.
Bless you for that.
I say it's a party every day at my house. But I was really surprised that every woman in the room agreed. They said, yeah, we're going to have to teach our boys. They're going to have to learn that it's not okay to cry. And we are going to have to be the ones to teach them that so that they get accepted socially.
Wow, that's a really big statement. The idea that we actually have to teach them to stop crying.
Yes, and that this is what, you know, I grew up with all sisters, so I kind of had this mistaken assumption when I first got married and started having children. Fortunately, my husband is very emotionally intelligent, and so I was able to learn that that's not true, that men do have emotions, that boys do have emotions, which I think prepared me better to have all of these boys that I'm trying to raise. But I thought I was just the only one who was clueless. I just thought, oh, it's because I was raised with all girls. I'm just the only one. But as I sat in this group and listened to every woman in the group agree, I was the only one, I was the only dissenting voice saying, no, that's not true. Boys do have emotions and they do need to feel. And this is how they learn, you know, this is how they learn that they're connected. This is how they learn that they can trust people. This is how they learn how to empathize and how to show empathy for others, is by having people show empathy for them.
So what was the reaction in your group when you kind of went, yeah, no, this is, don't do that?
Well, I was alone for quite a while. It took me, I don't know, quite a while to finally talk somebody over to my side. I finally said, look, how do you feel after you cry? You know, do you feel worse? Do you feel better? And I said, nobody has to fix whatever it is that's bothering you. Just the sheer act of crying brings you support. When people see that you're upset or see that you're sad, they might not be able to fix your problem, but they come and they sit and they listen. And if they can help, they try to help, and it brings you support. Just the act of showing how you're feeling inherently brings support to you.
Well, but
which,
here's the question that I have when you say that, because, you know, I wonder if men actually feel, well, that's not a correct question. If men are really okay with that, because there's this expectation that they're not, that crying or emotion is weakness.
Yes. Oh, that's such a good point that I'm glad you bring that up. Because men do have this perception that crying is weakness, and particularly from women. I had an interesting conversation just last night where a friend of mine went and watched a graduation at a police academy. And so these are, you know, a room full of testosterone and very male. And these men who were graduating were weeping, tears streaming down their face. And she looked at her husband, who never cries, and said, well, why is it okay for these men to cry? And he said, well, they're doing it from a position of strength. They have accomplished something, so it's okay for them to cry. But women,
right,
when women cry, they're doing it from a position of weakness. And he said, they are, when they cry, and this, these are his words, he said, they're trying to get something, which is kind of what I just said. They're, you know, it recruits support.
Right.
But it sounded like from him it felt manipulative, you know.
I see that all the time in my office, where it really upsets my male clients when their wives or partners are crying. They feel helpless,
mm-hmm,
because they want to fix, kind of what you said, they want to fix whatever the problem is, but sometimes,
yeah,
it really isn't a problem. Sometimes it's like, I just need to get all this out because, you know, I'm so overwhelmed with what I'm feeling. And guys don't know what to do with that. It makes them very uncomfortable, and like your friend's husband, they think that they're being manipulated into doing something.
Yes, exactly. And I feel like the best way that we can relate to that as women is sometimes we feel like that with our children, where we think, you're being spoiled. You're throwing this tantrum because I won't buy you the candy bar. And I buy you so much. I give you so much. I cook for you every day. I clean for you every day. I fold your laundry, whatever it may be. For you to throw this tantrum over a candy bar feels manipulative, even
right,
though for the child it's just sadness. They're just disappointed that they can't have the candy. They're not trying to manipulate us usually.
Oh, gosh, you just made me have a flashback to something that my father always said to me, was like, if you don't stop crying, I'll give you something good to cry about.
Right?
Like, oh, my gosh, if I'm crying, I obviously think I have something good to cry about. But that's
exactly
that typical thing that I don't want you to be doing it, so
mm-hmm,
stop it.
You're making me uncomfortable. and you're making me feel like if I were a better provider or if I were a better fill in the blank, whatever it is, then you wouldn't be crying.
Right.
So it's a really uncomfortable feeling when you feel like it's your responsibility to fix it.
Well, and I think this brings up, because I get that, I mean, for some weird reason, and I'm not quite sure why this is, a lot of the men who are, I mean, they're part of couples, but mm-hmm. many of the men who are in my office are engineers or scientists, you know, and it's funny because my father was an engineer and my husband's a scientist, and so maybe that's what it is. I don't know, maybe I've just put out this aura, but they've, you know, they really struggle with this whole idea of emotions. And it's almost like, you know, they've been taught that emotions are unimportant or useless. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no. We all have them, and they're there to tell us something, usually whether we're safe or not. It's kind of a shortcut to, okay, am I in danger or am I okay? Because if I'm in danger, I got to run. You know, or fight,
yeah.
You know, but people think there's no purpose for them. And it's like, well, if there wasn't a purpose for them, we wouldn't have them.
Exactly, exactly. I had one of my readers from my blog wrote me and told me how her husband was raised in an environment where he has good parents, but somehow he absorbed this need to be unemotional, you know, that emotions weren't appropriate, somewhere in the culture, wherever, he absorbed this. And it made it so that he has a really hard time even identifying why something bothers him. So, for example,
right.
they were doing their budget, and they got to a point where she was very comfortable. This is a budget that I can live with. He, on the other hand, was uncomfortable. It was not a budget that made him, he was nervous, they weren't saving enough or whatever it was,
mm-hmm.
but he couldn't identify those emotions enough to verbalize them. And so in order to keep the peace, he didn't want to start a conversation that he couldn't back up. So he had these emotions. They were affecting him, but he decided to ignore them, and they lived like that for a year. He'd never said anything about it for a year. So you can imagine the buildup over a year of living with a budget that you're not comfortable with, and then after a year, it just exploded, and he became very controlling and said, you are not allowed to spend this money anymore, and then it turned into a huge fight.
Right.
Right?
All because he couldn't identify what was the underlying emotion feeling issue for
mm-hmm.
him.
Yes, because that emotion was important. It was telling him that there was a need here that needed to be met. You know, this was not something he was comfortable with. This was not something he could live with. And they weren't done talking about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's really why I have that problem within, you know, with that thing about, you know, In good marriages, men just say, yes, dear. It's like,
mm-hmm.
oh, my gosh, please don't do that. Because it's like you're discounting half of the relationship. And that they're just supposed to suck it up and do whatever it is the wife tells them to do. And I'm like going, oh, my God, no, don't do that.
Exactly. Because the relationship is made up of both people. You know, you have strengths and you have weaknesses, and it's its own entity that you create together, and you can't create it with just one half.
Well, and something that you said also was really interesting, because there have been a lot of studies, and I can't name a specific study, about looking at why at people's buying habits
mm-hmm.
and what actually drives people's buying habits. And what the social scientists have discovered is that we buy from an emotional position, and then we create the logical reasons why buying this car versus that car is, or this house versus that house is the way to go. I mean, it really is an emotional thing. I mean, I remember when my husband and I bought our first house, you know, everybody said, well, don't ever walk into a house and fall in love with it, which is exactly what we did with ours. Like, you know, we walked in, it's like, it just felt so good.
Mm-hmm.
you know, it, I mean, it wasn't anything, you know, it was like, it felt good. We walked into the house and felt like we were at home. And mm-hmm. then, of course, we could come up with all the reasons why it was.
Right, of course.
Okay to buy it.
Yeah. It's really interesting how that works. Our emotions often speak to us, or almost always speak to us, before our logic kicks in, right?
Well, yeah, that's actually the way the brain is designed. Emotions mm-hmm. go through this wonderful little part of the brain called the amygdala before it ever hits. And that's what mm-hmm. I was talking about earlier. It's like, it's that thing, am I safe?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and nobody cares about the difference between happy, joy, serenity.
Yeah. You know,
but it matters whether it's fear or anger or hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But those are all the emotions, well, except for anger, those are all the emotions we tell people or men they're not
yeah.
supposed to feel. Because
yeah.
it's this idea that if I feel this, and I talk to my clients about this all the time, that hurt or pain, and also hurt or fear or frustration are all evidence of vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
But anger, anger's okay, you know, because
yes.
anger is strong and it's also scary to whoever's on the other side of it. But it's that pain, that fear, that frustration, those vulnerable emotions that I mm-hmm. think is so very difficult
yeah.
for men to feel in our society, unless it's like you're the losing team in the Super Bowl, or you know,
yes.
those guys are crying.
Yep.
But nobody
yeah.
would say to those guys, "Hey, you're not a man because you're crying." It's like, no.
Right.
In that condition, then the emotions are acceptable.
Yes. Yeah. And in order to make it safe for men or for boys to be vulnerable, we have to work so much harder to make it safe for them. Just this morning I was dealing with a fight between two of my sons, and one had his feelings really, really hurt. And even though I work really hard to provide a safe place to be hurt and to feel your emotions, there's still this wider culture that our boys are being raised in. And my son really preferred to be angry. He did mm-hmm. not want to revert to being hurt, which would be a place where he could actually connect with his brother and they could actually talk about this, because they care about each other. They really do. But if they're talking about it from a place of anger, then it becomes a battle, and it makes more hurt, and it makes the problem worse. If they can back down, and if they can actually bare their neck, show their vulnerabilities, put themselves out there in a place where they can be hurt, then they can connect. And then they can really believe and show each other that they care about each other. But it's really hard to convince them that it's worth trying.
Well, this is Happily Ever After is just the beginning on webtalkradio.net. I'm Leslie Dorries, and I'm talking with Christine Walker, who blogs at Boys Cry Too, about the challenges men face in getting in touch with their emotions and how this impacts their relationships. And, you know, that what you just said about your sons is really critical, and I'm so glad you brought it up, because this, I think, is what keeps a lot of men from forming close relationships with other men. Now, mm-hmm. they might be able to form relationships with their brothers, with their teammates. I was talking about Marines, so it's like, you know, Army, you know, the military, they form incredibly close relationships, and, you know, something maybe like the police force or whatever, where it's okay and they're actually dependent on these other people to keep them alive, and so there's a huge connection there. But I think it's really hard, especially once men get out of high school and college, to really be able to make that connection with other men, because it's that whole alpha male kind of thing that if I show my vulnerability, my weakness, which I don't use vulnerability and weakness in the same sentence, so I apologize for doing that here, it keeps them from opening up. And then I think this puts a lot of pressure on the women in their lives as well.
Yes, yes. So there's research out there that shows in America, the average male has zero or maybe one close friend. This is what we're doing. This is what our culture is doing to men, is they're not able to put themselves out there. There's not a safe place to connect with other men on an emotional level to where they would call them close friends. And so it does. It does mean that women, and wives in particular, become the probably one and only support system for their husbands, which is good, and that's intimate, and that builds relationships. But it can also be difficult if the woman doesn't understand. For example, if my husband has a hard time at work, I can appreciate it and I can empathize what it's like to have a hard day, but I can't empathize what it's like to have a hard day in a corporate finance setting, because that's not what I'm doing. And so I can only understand to a certain degree, whereas if he had friends that were in the trenches with him, right, like we've talked about in war or on a team that he could be vulnerable with, he would feel a whole different level of support than what I can offer.
Right. And like, I want to go back to kind of what I talk about why I don't use weakness and vulnerability. It's because most people, when I say to them, and I actually do this with my clients, when I say the word vulnerable, what comes to mind? And almost immediately, the word is weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, in order to be vulnerable, you have to be incredibly strong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think people misunderstand this. And I think also this is where the women, the wives, play a role, because we all suffer from the cultural expectation of what a man is. You know, he's a macho, you know, going to go out and kill the buffalo and protect me from the tribe from across the river. And so when our guys are suffering, are we actually allowing them to open up to us? We want them to. We say we want them to.
Mm-hmm.
But when they do it, how do we respond?
How do we respond? Oh, yes. My husband had the best example for this. My husband's big. He's 6 feet tall, and he's over 200 pounds. He looks like a football player. I'm very petite. I'm not even 5'4", 110 pounds. I've always been small, and I've always been a little bit anxious about that. I just always felt vulnerable, like we talked about. And so getting married made me feel very safe. Suddenly there's this big, strong protector next to me every night. And periodically I'll hear things, and I'll wake him up, and I'll say, I heard a noise. You got to go check the house. Leslie, it sounds so silly when I say this now, but it never occurred to me that he might be scared too. It never crossed my mind until a few months ago. He looked at me after I, you know, was writing this blog, and he said, you know, all these things you're saying are fine and they're good, but you don't really want me to be vulnerable. And I was surprised, and I looked at him, and I was like, why do you say that? And he's like, there is no way that when you wake me up in the middle of the night and tell me to go check the house, that you want to hear me say, but I'm scared. And I stepped back, and I was like, you're right. I don't. That's so true. I'm giving you such mixed messages. You need to be vulnerable. You need to connect. You need these things to be a healthy human being. Only don't do it when I don't want you to. Right?
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that's one of the things where men really, you know, what I have learned, and there's actually some studies to back this up, is that men would rather do nothing than do something wrong.
Yeah.
And so when their wives are giving them mixed messages, they're going to stand there and do nothing. Because it's like, well, if I go left, I'm going to get in trouble. If I go right, I'm going to get in trouble. So I'm just going to stand here in my little box.
Yes.
And I don't think that women fully are aware of the damage that does to the relationship, not just to their partner's way of, you know, just try to get through life, but actually in their relationships, because then I think women get more demanding,
mm-hmm.
and the guys retreat even more.
Well, it does. It comes back to haunt us. I had one reader who actually had a miscarriage, and this wasn't a baby that they were planning, and it was kind of a surprise, so she miscarried, but she was still devastated, of course.
Sure.
But her husband, I think, did exactly what you're saying. He wasn't sure what the right response was, and so he did nothing. He went to work the next day and let her friend take her to the doctor to have the procedure that she needed done.
Yeah.
And this is a good man. He's not a bad man. He's not an insensitive man. He's a good husband.
Right.
But he didn't know what she wanted. He didn't know what to do. And so he just went to work and did nothing. And this is not... I don't know their whole history, and this is not to blame anybody, but these are the kinds of things that happen, right, when we are giving mixed messages. And I like what you say, that men would rather do nothing than do something wrong.
Well, and it's interesting that you bring that up, because I had a client, same situation. She had a miscarriage, and they actually did want this baby, and she was far enough along. I mean, it was a really sad situation. And she was angry with him because he didn't cry. And she took that to mean he didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like going, oh, don't, no.
Right.
I mean, and this is the same kind of thing. It wasn't that he didn't care. It's just that he had been taught, I have to be strong. I have to, you know, I have to be there for her, and I can't mm-hmm. fall apart because I'm standing there in the breach for her. And now he's getting in trouble for it because, you know. And so how do you, in your blog, how are you helping women, because it sounds like many of your readers are women,
mm-hmm.
get across that, guys, you got to pay. I shouldn't use the word guys. Ladies, you have to pay attention to the mixed messages you're sending your guy.
Yeah. So I've found that it's safer to start with talking about our sons.
Okay.
because we can look at it from, you know, a step back, and we can see vulnerabilities in our sons. Babies all cry. We know that boy babies cry. We know that girl babies cry. Mm-hmm. We know, you know, there's studies that show boys and girls cry exactly the same amount until age 12. And then after that, then some of the hormones kick in. And men, you know, there's probably some research to suggest that testosterone may make men cry somewhat less than women. But there's also cultures across the world that the difference is not so large. If it's culturally acceptable, the changes are in the women. You know, if it's culturally acceptable to cry, women will cry a lot more. If it's culturally not acceptable to cry, women will stop crying. But men kind of across the board have this, we have to be strong, we have to not cry. So we talk about this, and we talk about the fact that men have emotions. And when they can start to see this progression, well, boys have emotions, that doesn't change. It's something in the culture that's changing. But it takes time. It takes time to let this process, you know, for me to accept that my big, strong protector next to me in bed actually is afraid. I have to look within myself and realize that, oh, okay, then I need to participate in this fear. You know, maybe we need to go check the house together or whatever it is.
And I'm going to stand behind you, though. Yeah. No.
Yeah. But you go first.
Right.
But it takes some looking inside. And I think a lot of it starts with conversation and maybe talking about how we feel a step removed, you know, talking about something in the news and how you feel about that or how your husband feels about that, and really providing a safe place for men to have feelings that may be different from your feelings, and being able to listen when they come home from work and have a bad day and not. And Leslie, this is one thing that I think is funny. Have you seen, it's like a little YouTube video, and it's hilarious. It's this couple talking, and it's this woman. She's got like a nail.
Got the nail in her head. Yeah.
Yes. And I look at that and I laugh and I think, but you know what? We do the same thing as women. Our husbands come home and they tell us about a bad day or whatever happened and we try to fix it. Mm-hmm. Well, have you done this? Well, have you tried this? Have you said this? Or we try to psychoanalyze them. Well, it's probably because da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da,
right.
You know, and we try to put all the pieces together for them where that's not what they need, and we know that about ourselves. We don't want men to fix the nail in our head ourselves, you know, but we try to do it for them, and I think that's so ironic because really what they want to do, they want the same thing we do. They want to be heard. They want to be felt. Maybe not the same words. They might want to hear, dude, that sucks, you know. But so they might not want to spend a ton of time on it, but they want to know that they're okay and that we still respect them, even if their boss just berated them. You know, they really want a lot of the same things we do, but maybe just phrased a little bit differently.
Well, and there may actually be another difference because, and I think this is one thing that drives women crazy, and I've learned this with my husband because my husband is pretty emotionally intelligent as well.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's had a bad day or there's a problem at the office and he doesn't want to talk about it ad nauseum, he'll talk about it up to a certain point,
mm-hmm.
and then he's done.
Yeah.
And if I keep trying to talk about it, he will gently, very nicely go, can we not talk about this anymore?
And I'm
done. Went, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because women will talk about things almost to death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for men, again, it's a lot of times where if I can't do anything about it, then talking about it just, again, makes me feel more incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very much a male-female difference. And, you know, I think that's part of it, part of why a lot of times men don't necessarily want to talk about their day, because it's over and done with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even if it was a good day, it's over and done with, I'm now on to the next thing. And women like to kind of rehash and relive.
It's true. No, I think you're right. I think that that's definitely part of it. And I think, too, that some of the men who have read my blog have also talked about, I don't want to talk to my wife about this if it's going to make me feel worse.
Right.
If I'm going to end up feeling worse.
Exactly.
You know, and sometimes, well, often when we're trying to fix the problem, that's a show of showing that we don't have faith in him to fix it himself.
Exactly.
And, you know, and so I think a lot of times we don't understand that that's what we're communicating. We think we're being helpful. We think that we're being so supportive, and what we're actually communicating is that we don't have faith in them, and we don't think they can do it.
Well, and I really think that this is right there, what you've said is a critical point, because if we aren't having the kind of emotional connection, emotional interactions with our husbands or our partners, then one of the places to look isn't at them, which is what we always do,
mm-hmm.
but at ourselves going, okay, am I being open to my partner feeling vulnerable? Am I
mm-hmm.
being accepting of the way my partner feels? Because one of the things that drives me crazy is when, and I actually don't let this happen in my office, I won't let people tell other people how they feel or how they should feel or their feelings
mm-hmm.
are wrong.
Yeah.
Because, one, it's disrespectful. But I can be just as uncomfortable by my husband's feelings as he might be by mine. And the question is, are we making it okay for our
yeah.
partners to share their feelings? And that's,
yeah.
I think, where we really need to take a look, is what am I doing to make my partner feel like he can express himself?
And you know when it's the hardest to do that is when they're angry. And that's the emotion that boys are always allowed to feel. But it's hardest to sit with someone when they're angry and make it safe for them to be angry. Now, I'm not saying, we're not talking about abuse here. Clearly,
right.
That's a different case. But often anger comes from a place of hurt, fear, you know, whatever that is, these feelings that we haven't necessarily spent a lot of time identifying for boys or for men. But if you can sit and not fight back or raise to the level, which is so difficult and it's so hard, but if you can make it safe for your husband to be angry and say, wow, you must be, reflect kind of, that must have really hurt, or that must have really been whatever it was, that is when the doors really start to open, I've found.
Right.
The anger really can dissipate if you don't rise to the challenge, if you can just make it safe.
Right, and that's, like you said, that is a skill. It's a skill that I teach, is how do people manage their own emotions. And when I say that, the goal isn't not to have the emotion, because I think that's like telling somebody don't breathe.
Yeah.
But it's, what do I do? How do I behave when this emotion is present, whether it's my emotion or whether it's my child's emotion or whether it's my partner's emotion?
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's about our own level of maturity and being able to disengage. And I think that may be, something for couples to look at, is what am I doing when my partner is expressing their feelings, especially if it's in the form of anger, because that's, I call that the offensive emotion.
Yeah.
It's the protective emotion, that as long
Absolutely.
As I'm being angry, I don't have to, I can keep you at arm's distance, which is not what women want from their partners. They want their partners to come closer, but they have to be willing to learn how to do that, is what I'm hearing you say.
Yes, if you can make it safe for somebody to be angry, and you can hear that without, we all know how it feels when someone's angry at us, our heart starts to race and we start to lose our breath and we start to get defensive and we start to take it personally. But if we can realize that, okay, they have really strong feelings and this matters to them, and this might not be my fault, but I need to hear them and I need to feel them. And we can kind of keep that sort of panic or defensiveness at bay and remain calm and hear what's really going on behind the anger. Then it can be a really productive conversation. But yes, I think you're absolutely right. We definitely need to look at what kind of a place we're providing for our husbands to be vulnerable. I really do like to look at anger as vulnerability rather than as offensive.
And sometimes we have to be aware of, and I think women actually do this better, is being aware of the more subtle signs before somebody gets to anger.
Mm-hmm.
Because if somebody isn't heard prior to that, then anger is what comes up. So what I really want people to take away from this is that, one, men do have emotions.
Yes.
We all do.
Yes.
And the question is, how are we allowing in our relationship those emotions to come out in a safe and productive way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, definitely. And one of the skills that we talk about a lot on my blog is reflecting how somebody's feeling. And that's one of the biggest skills that anyone can learn for any relationship. I think you would probably agree. I had one of my readers the other day say, well, but where's the line? For example, her husband used to cry every time he struck out when he was playing baseball as a child.
Right.
And his dad was like, look, this crying isn't helping you. Why are you doing it? And he never cried again after that. He just stopped. And she's like, so at some point, there's a line. You can't just let them keep crying. And I was like, well,
Why?
You know, exactly. I was like, actually, if you can just say, oh, that was really hard, or oh, that was really disappointing, or even, you know, you must have really felt like you let your team down, or whatever it is, you just reflect it and you use the words. There's something really comforting about just hearing your emotion named.
Exactly. And we're going that way. We're being taught that with our children. And it's sort of like I always talk to people. It's like, okay, whatever it is you're being taught to do with your children, mm-hmm. learn to do it with your spouse too.
Exactly. Exactly. And so I talk a lot about boys on my blog because that's safe. And it seems to be much easier to process with boys because we have this definition of a man. It's a huge definition. It's very different in our culture. A woman doesn't have the same definition as a man. If you tell one of my boys that he's not a man, that is the ultimate insult. The
Absolutely.
Ultimate insult, you
right.
know. And so that's why it's safer to approach it starting with boys and then kind of apply it in the back door to
right.
men, you know.
Yeah, because they are still very much, and you know, and I don't mean this in the derogatory, you know, men are just large boys, because that's not accurate. But they still have a lot of that, those expectations around them.
Yeah, they do. I just interviewed a man the other day and I said, what's the one thing that you would want every woman to know about what it means to be a man? And he said that we are still confronting traditional gender roles, and we are trying. We are
yeah.
really trying, and that's what I wish every woman would know, is that we're trying. We're trying to be what you want. We're trying to be good men. But, you know, you guys have had this feminist revolution, and you have knocked down the definition of what it means to be a woman, and you have some more leeway, and we're still battling that right now.
Right, and I think it's important for women to be aware of potential mixed messages, just like with, you know, you wanting your husband to go find the source of the noise in the middle of the night. And again,
mm-hmm.
it's not wrong. I really want people to not think this is a right or wrong situation. It's just, is this way of thinking helpful to my relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Because, like you said, it's out there. So, Christine, thank you so much for being here. Can you please, again, tell people where they can find your blog?
Yes, my blog is boyscry2.com, and you can find me and all of our conversations there. I also have a Google Plus group and a Facebook page. If you look for Boys Cry 2, you can find me there as well.
Great. So remember that. Boys cry too. And by the way, that's okay.
Exactly.
So keep listening to the show and getting more information on how to make your marriage great. And until next week, stay loving.